Test.
Check this out.
Ranger.
Autonomous Action Radio, a multimedia radio show, a website, an idea, a suggestion, an action plan. Hello and welcome to this episode of Autonomous Action Radio. On today's show, we're continuing with the anarchist alphabet, and we are up to F. F is for Five Finger Discount, otherwise known as shoplifting. What are some of the arguments around shoplifting? What are the consequences, apart from if you get caught? But first of all, I've put together a mix of songs about the topic for the first part of the show today. And later on, we're going to hear an interview I just did with Fred Hooper from the Morawari Nation, an Aboriginal nation who have declared independence from Australia and are now the Morawari Republic. We'll be right back.
91, my partner and I would come to the store empty-handed and part with about a ton of merch. You'd see how much it was worth. All the expensive shit got stuffed in my shirt. Hustle and work, steal till our muscles would hurt. And we really didn't care if we got rushed by the clerk. See, in the 100-yard dash, no one came close to me. Not even if my jeans were full of groceries. Took the good shit, didn't fuck with the rest. Left stores with TVs tucked in my vest. And even though I might not boost as much, it'll be a cold day in hell before I lose the touch.
Listen, compared to me, you like a little baby. I stole my first marker back in 85 when I broke graffiti and it made me lie. And just go into the stores and raid the aisles. And I know my mother wonder how she raised her child. Gave me a bunch of rules and made me stay inside. Nothing seemed to work, I guess I'm just a shady type. Criminal to the bone marrow, hate to buy. Originator, why you plagiarize? And I'm not doing this just to save a dime. And not cause I'm too hot to wait in line. To me, it's not a trend, it's a way you lie.
It's the supermarket sweep.
It's all gotta go.
Join the fun.
Cut your cord, save a whole lot of dough.
They might have lied,
but they won't spot a pole.
They got
cords and promo in the store on the low.
In the supermarket sweep.
It's all gotta go.
Join the fun.
Cut your cord, save a whole lot of dough.
Yeah, they might have lied,
but they won't spot a pole.
They got
cords and promo in the store on the low.
Those were the days, now we're off to bigger and better things. Candy bars don't fill the belly of seasoned veterans, huh? We got a plan, it's like Ocean's 11.
Alright, I know the spot, but it's closing at 7. According to the bread rent, the place is a dead end. So if we hit it right, it will make us a legend. If we figure out how to get over the big chores.
Shit, I got a duffel bag and it's coated in tin foil.
That's great, but what about the security cams?
Don't worry about it, it won't ruin the plans.
And the guards
won't expect
the alarm
disconnected. All we really gotta do is stay calm and collected. In and out, poof, gone in a second. The damn guard isn't even armed with a weapon.
Step on the brake, pull over the car and park it. We here, man, we reach the target.
It's the supermarket sweep.
It's all gotta go.
Join the fun.
Cut your cord, save a whole lot of dough.
They might have lied,
but they won't spot a pole.
They got
cords and promo in the store on the low.
In the supermarket sweep.
It's all gotta go.
Join the fun.
Cut your cord, save a whole lot of dough.
Yeah, they might have lied,
but they won't spot a pole.
They got
cords and promo in the store on the low.
We came in the door, done it before. Never let the laws patronize us no more.
It's time to settle the score with this dirty business. Let the customers here be the first to witness the looting of a lifetime in front of their eyes.
Let's take the shopping cart for the ruggedest ride and leave the manager standing there wondering why.
Why?
We left this baby like a motherless child.
We don't even hide the shit. I walk by the register with an entire fridge. Look the store detective in the eye and spit.
Tell him we know where he lives if he try to snitch. And tell him mind his biz, I'm coming back for more shit. Moving caseloads out the front with the forklift. Cords in the back.
Promo, lead the way. No miss, I'm fine, thanks. Nothing for me today.
Rolling the trolleys and the wheelbarrows. We don't give a fuck if the aisle's real narrow. Stealing everything, including kitchen sink. And if we get caught, we won't admit a thing. We're just rolling the trolleys and the wheelbarrows. We don't give a fuck if the aisle's real narrow. Stealing everything, including kitchen sink. And we don't give a fuck what you bitches think.
It's the supermarket sweep, it's all gotta go. It's fun, it's cheap, save a whole lot of dough. They might peep, but they won't spot a pro. Cause the way we creep, ain't no way you will know. Supermarket sweep, it's all gotta go. It's fun, it's cheap, save a whole lot of dough. They might peep, but they won't spot a pro. Cords and promo in the store on the low.
Check this out.
Ranger.
You're listening to Autonomous Action Radio on 4ZZZ 102.1 FM.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, yeah. gotta say peace to the thieves, looking over their shoulders when they walking down the streets. We gotta even out the world's economy.
How we do that?
With a little bit of larceny. Hey yo, we gotta say peace to the thieves, looking over their shoulders when they walking down the streets. We gotta even out the world's economy.
How we do that?
With a little bit of larceny. Push up 5 fingers in the air if you down with 5-finger discount. Hold up and beat, let me just count. 1, 2, 3, 4, plus some more. Thieves down, we're running from the man-made law. If laws make man, then I'm not human. Rhyme over animal beatboxes. Big up people sleeping in boxes in the concrete jungle. To get my shit in a bundle. No time to make mistakes, no time to fumble. You gotta plan your racking mission with precision. Recognition is no good in this business. Listen, equipment depends on what the situation requires. You gotta be able to shoplift in any attire. My personal favorite, though, is my specially designed jacket with 2 big pockets on the inside. Summertime means bad business for petty crime. Might only wear a t-shirt, still have to rack in your waistline. This great rhyme, you're hurting through the grapevine. If they asking you for names, don't you dare to say mine.
Say words.
I hear ads telling me to join the retail revolution. Fuck that, I'll stick to boosting. On my way out to DJ Erasing Fidja. Listening to Sisla, telling the store owner to tell it some more. Youth man hungry, time to settle the score. That's why I gotta say peace to the thieves, looking over their shoulders when they walking down the streets. We gotta even out the world's economy.
How we do that?
With a little bit of larceny.
Time to dress up in our best racking clothes. No, you can catch me in the store, racking up, racking up.
I'm just trying to live and get my cut.
It all started with spray cans defacing the community. A can of 10 to 15 bucks, they wanna ruin me. Somebody suing me after the song, I laugh. You ain't got shit on my ass, not even half. To steal, you gotta have nerves to cold steel. Gotta know when to move, gotta know when to hold still. You know, chill, wait for the right moment. Gotta learn to separate the cool ones from the informants. With the store owners, you don't want eye contact. In the worst case, you might have to put the stuff back. Fuck that, it's kinda rough to rack. But I'ma keep using my hands till they cuff them back. Stuff my shirt in my pants and strap the belt tight. Big coat on top of that, fill my back with all might. Hopefully I'm alright, no alarms, I beg. If everything else fails, I got a good pair of legs. You heard that in spray can stories, but here's another one. Nothing spectacular, a daily operation. We went inside the store, by the big mall. Rolls of films, batteries, spray cans, I took it all. Headed for the exit, but something wasn't right. So I turned to my man and was like, let's drop the shit, it ain't worth the risk. What do you know, they called the coppers. That lady came and frisked us, but now we had nothing on us. They pressed charges, but they got nothing on us. Still, shit like this might make me a bit shaky, but at the end of the day, I gotta say peace to the thieves, looking over their shoulders when they walking down the streets. We gotta even out the world's economy.
How we do that?
With a little bit of larceny.
And go shoplifting.
Say what?
Go shoplifting. Go shoplifting.
Yeah, yeah.
Go shoplifting.
Time to dress up in our best racking clothes. Yo, you could catch me in the store, racking up.
I'm just trying to live and get my cut.
One more story, I don't hesitate to glorify. Rule number one, you gotta learn how to lie. Deny everything, cause they best evidence actually comes from your own statement. So stick to friends with the same mind frame, or they might rat you out and you take the whole blame. Like me, got busted when I was just a minor. 2 cases of liquor, the kids are all we was vagina. They dropped the diamond, I had no experience. Cried after the hearing, though they had no evidence. But ever since that, they only ones I got caught running from cops instead of playing sports. That ain't something I'm proud of, it's just something I do. I don't really have to justify my actions to you, but go ahead, cast the first stone. Then when your glass house is shattered, leave me alone. But check it, I take from the rich, give to myself. To me it's property, that's the greatest theft. Cause I don't rack up the stack up in a big warehouse, trying to make a profit, selling it out. I just take what I need to make it through the week. But it don't matter what I say, so I won't speak no more. Trying to convince you of my innocence, I just stick to being a thief. Forget my sins. I gotta say peace to the thieves, looking over their shoulders when they walking down the streets. We gotta even out the world's economy.
How we do that?
With a little bit of larceny. Hey yo, I gotta say peace to the thieves, looking over their shoulders when they walking down the streets.
We gotta even out the world's economy.
How we do that?
With a little bit of larceny.
A person who jacks from the retail and sells it in the hood for dirt cheap resale. In these hard times, they press on like lean nails. In all of my experience, the sex has been female. Back in elementary, my shoes used to rap. Every time my soles hit the street, they would flap. Then in high school, Langston Anderson would cap, cause my jacket didn't have a brand name on the back. Years later, this lady took me to her apartment. It looked like the Macy's sportswear department. Clothes on the chairs, on the couch, and the carpet. A 20 had me icy like pissing in the Arctic. If it wasn't for the hard work of a booster, most couldn't go to the clubs that we used to. If you don't fit the dress code, they'll boot you. Like people who get dressed up won't shoot you. For some of y'all folks, this stuff might faze you. This ain't the way that society raised you. But most of it was made by children in Asia. The stores make money off of very low wages. Next time you see two women running out the gap with arms full of clothes still strapped to the rack, once they jump in the car, hit the gas and scat. If you have to say something, just stand and clap.
I let 'em boosters, they let 'em boosters. You should love 'em too. Even if they don't know ya, they'll get it for you like a whole outfit or shoe. I let them boost us, they let them boost us. You should love them to love me. Even if they don't know ya, they'll get it for you like a whole outfit or shoe.
Goes out to all them hardworking women who risk jail time just to make them a living. We know that hardly be no one in prison if rights to food, clothes, and shelter were given. Plus, they be keeping me dressed so fresh, even when my wallet yells SOS. In a cheaper Sunday suit, you feel a little more blessed. So into the revolution that I profess. My shirt is from Stacy, my pants are from Rhonda. My shoes came out the trunk of a baby blue Honda. My wardrobe's in luck if something falls off a truck. If you're looking for some leather, then go see Yolanda. If I'm on the red carpet and they ask who designed this, I'ma give a shout out to Bay Area's finest. All on our own, we survive this with slyness. But when we come together, all our fashion is flyness.
I let them boost us, they let them boost us. You should love them too. Even if they don't know ya, they'll get it for you like a whole outfit or shoe. I let them boost us, they let them boost us. You should love them to love me. Even if they don't know ya, they'll get it for you like a whole outfit or shoe.
11 to arrest now at 938 Temple, 938 Temple. 30 subjects with bands trying to get inside the CP town.
Need a loot. Just one thing to remember, make sure you wear a suit. With greed's a creed, the breed's a breed, what else can you expect? The rich elite get richer, and communities get wrecked. Some rob us with an iron bar, some a computer screen. And when they say it's legal, that's even more obscene. Is a street kid, and what he did was wrong, but he probably wouldn't do it if he felt he could belong. Bazza's rich and privileged, he doesn't give a shit. He takes us for a load of mugs, gets away with it. There's no such thing as society, so steal and cheat and loot. Just one thing to remember, make sure you wear a suit. There's no such thing as society, so steal and cheat and loot. Just one thing to remember, make sure you wear a suit. Make sure you wear a suit. Make sure you wear a suit.
Nothing compares to the feeling of elation, of burdens being lifted and constraints escaped, that I feel when I walk out of a store with their products in my pockets. We'll be right back. In a world where everything already belongs to someone else, where I'm expected to sell away my life at work in order to get the money to pay for the minimum I need to survive, where I'm surrounded by forces beyond my control or comprehension that obviously are not concerned about my needs or welfare, it is a way to carve out a little piece of the world for myself, to act back upon a world that acts so much upon me. It is an entirely different sensation than the one I feel when I buy something. When I pay for something, I'm making a trade. I'm offering the money that I bought with my labor, my time, and my creativity for a product or service that the corporation wouldn't share with me under any other circumstances. In a sense, we have a relationship based on violence. We negotiate in exchange not according to our respect or concern for each other, but according to the forces that we can bring to bear on each other. Everything changes when I shoplift. I'm no longer negotiating with faceless, inhuman entities that have no concern for my welfare. Instead, I'm taking what I need without giving anything up. I no longer feel like I'm being forced into an exchange. And I no longer feel as if I have no control over the way the world around me dictates my life. I no longer have to worry about whether the pleasure I received from the book I purchased was equal to the 2 hours of labor it cost me to be able to afford it. In these and a thousand other ways, shoplifting makes me feel liberated and empowered. The shoplifter wins her prize by taking risks, not by exchanging a piece of her life for it. Life for her is not something that must be sold away for $7 or $8 an hour in return for survival. It is something that is hers because she takes it for herself, because she lays claim to it. Shoplifting is a refusal of the exchange economy. It is a denial that a monetary value can be ascribed to everything.
What we've been listening to just then was something called Why I Like Stealing from Large Corporations. And that is actually a Crime Think text. Crime Think is an American ex-workers collective, and that's a Crime Think text that Franklin Lopez, the stimulator from Submedia TV, made into a short film. And before that, we heard a whole bunch of songs about shoplifting. Start off with Jane's Addiction, Being Caught Stealing, Choking Victim, Five Finger Discount Chords, Supermarket Sweep, Loop Troop Thief, The Coup, I Love Boosters, Sublime, April 29, 1992, which refers to the riots in Los Angeles after the Rodney King incident, and then Attila the Stockbroker and Looters. And that song, Attila the Stockbroker, made after the riots in London a few years ago. And I'm going to play Gerald Keeney talking about shoplifting and examining some of the arguments.
Okay, well, the main argument against shoplifting that I've seen in the media is the argument that if some of us shoplift, then the rest of us pay. So, in other words, me or you might go into the shop and shoplift, but then everyone else, you know, poor old pensioners out there, everyone else out there has to pay when the five-finger discount we get is factored back into the price, and they have to pay a higher price for their goods. Now, this argument is a way of suggesting that it's better if no one shoplifts, or the conclusion of the argument is it's better if no one shoplifts rather than if some people do and some people don't. But the idea that there's either no one shoplifting or some shoplifting and some not, and they're the only two choices, that's actually logically not correct, because there's actually a third option, and that is that everyone shoplifts. Now, if everyone shoplifts, then there's no people who aren't shoplifting who are bearing the cost of those who do, and so the argument fails. And the idea that everyone should shoplift is quite attractive if we think that we're talking here about shoplifting from large companies, and that these large companies are exploitative, and so it's a good thing for people to fight the exploitation and get something back for themselves. It also suggests that you have to shoplift to get your money's worth, and that shoplifting is a kind of a duty, part of being poor, or part of being exploited. And unfortunately, that's right. I think that shoplifting is a kind of a part of the job description of being poor. So we shouldn't romanticise it. But yes, certainly I think in the face of the argument that some people suffer, the proper response is, well, in that case, we should all do it. Yes.
So if everyone shoplifted, would that increase the price overall?
Yeah, I think it would. What would happen would be there would be an eventual increase in inflation. Just as when you get a wage rise, that increases inflation. So if you look at the economic forecast, they often talk about keeping inflation down by pegging back wages, for instance. And I think that's what happens once big companies are faced with an increase in wages, or in the case of shoplifting, it's kind of a social wage, then that they respond by putting up inflation. So while the burden, while the reputation of the standard argument suggests that the burden's evenly borne, then it is true that eventually large companies will manage to recoup some of the gains that you've made by shoplifting. However, that's not a good argument. Let me just note here, and interesting lead into an interesting point. That's not a good argument against wage rises any more than it is a good argument against shoplifting. Because actually what happens is that before inflation catches up, as Marx argues in his excellent paper, Wages, Prices and Profit, before inflation catches up with us, because of the shoplifting or the wage rises, in fact, we've got more spending power. So Marx talks about money as the social power you've got in your hip pocket. Okay, so you've got more social power. And when you've got more social power and more spending power, you change the way the economy works just by creating demand. And that is an inkling of the idea that you can, in fact, control the means of production. It's the beginning of a control over the means of production. And it gives people an idea that they can actually control the social means. And if we keep doing it, if we keep getting wage rises, if we keep taking things from large exploitative companies, then eventually what we'll get is a bankruptcy of the system, that is a revolution where we're directly controlling the means of production. So I think the outcome of things like shoplifting as well as wage rises is very positive. It's the possibility of us directly controlling the means rationally rather than the means of production being at the service of the mindless market.
So is anyone harmed by shoplifting?
Well, shoplifting, the answer is no. I mean, what happens with shoplifting, providing you're doing it to large companies, okay, what you're actually doing is you're not even actually harming the shareholders. Why not? Well, what happens is that as people shoplift and as people have the argument that they should shoplift and understand why they should shoplift, shoplifting occurs everywhere, right? So then it's just something that's factored into the way in which these companies make money. A company, even an individual company, is not necessarily going to be disadvantaged, right? It's the case that that across the competitive spectrum or across the competitive environment, all companies are facing this. So it's not an advantage or a disadvantage for one or the other. And that's the important thing. Profit's not an absolute. It's a competitive notion. You make more profit or less profit than your rivals to then invest and edge them out. But if everyone's copying the results of a wage rise or shoplifting, then in a sense, it's not actually harming any one company. But what it is doing is it's removing control, the means of production, from the ruling class. And so in that sense, harming the whole of the ruling class not any one particular individual or company, and it's harming the whole of the ruling class or the power that the ruling class have at the because it's giving us more power. It's giving us, the people who are dictated to by the market and the ruling class, more power. So no, it doesn't harm people. I don't think you should shoplift from small businesses because they're usually your mates, and you know, in social struggle you'd want them to be on your side. So I don't think you should shoplift from them. But if you shoplift from large companies, no, you're not harming anyone.
Learn to love me, assemble the way. Now, today, tomorrow, and always. My only weakness is a list of crime. My only weakness is, well, never mind, never mind. Shoplifters of the world, unite and take over. Shoplifters of the world, hand it over, hand it over, hand it over. Learn to love me and assemble their ways. Now, today, tomorrow, and always. My only weakness, a list of crime. But last night the plans for a future war was all I saw on Channel 4. Shoplifters of the world, unite and take over. Shoplifters of the world, hand it over, hand it over, hand it over.
You're listening to
Autonomous Action Radio on 4ZZZ. And I've got an interview I just did this morning with Fred Hooper, who is from the Marawari Nation. And just before I play that interview, there's a text called The Art of Shoplifting, which is actually a text that was published in Australia. And I'm going to publish that on the website autonomousactionradio.com. And it also talks about, I guess, the reasons why, the arguments for shoplifting, and the state of capitalism, and the reasons why some people do have to steal to survive. And then also it talks about a bit about the do's and don'ts. I'm going to play the interview I did now with Fred Hooper from the Marawari Nation. Australia was made up over 500 different independent nations before Captain Cook claimed it on behalf of Great Britain under the principle of Terra Nullius in 1770. Australia is occupied territory much like the US and Canada, and it's time to decolonize. And the Marawari Nation have taken a step in this direction. The clan groups which form the Aboriginal Nation have declared independence from Australia and announced the formation of the Marawari Republic. The Marawari are trailblazers for other Indigenous nations in this country, and their website is marawarirepublic.net, and that's MurraWarri republic.net. And I spoke to Fred Hooper this morning, who's the spokesperson for the Republic.
Okay, we're the Murawari Nation, and we're basically on the Culgoa River, between the Culgoa River and the Warrego River, and we straddle northwest New South Wales and southwest Queensland. The Murawari Nation, as an area, probably around 81,000 square kilometres, and we're an old and ancient nation that's been around for a very long time. We believe that, when Captain Cook planted the flag on Possession Island, he claimed it on behalf of the King of Great Britain at the time, and he claimed the country under the principle of Terra Nullius. And we certainly believe that with the Mabo decision in 1992, the High Court ruled that the Meriam people had, possession, use and occupation of the Murray Islands, and they had exclusive rights to do that against the whole world, which we feel gave the Meriam people ultimate title over their island. And we feel that hasn't been transformed now onto the continent of Australia. The Native Title Act and Native Title, we feel, is a Clayton's form of recognition of Aboriginal people, and it's a system that would give you inferior rights to everybody else to land. And following that Mabo decision, we looked at sovereignty, we looked at dominion and so on. And there's several cases or reports and so on that says that sovereignty, the ultimate title, hasn't been taken away from Aboriginal people of this continent. And Mabo actually clarified that when it nullified the principle of Terra Nullius. And so the Murawari people decided that, if that's the case, why can't we declare our own independence and statehood, or continuing independence and statehood? So therefore we went about, number one, looking at the Declaration and what the Declaration meant to us. We looked at what would happen if we declared our nation as a republic. We looked at the establishment of a draft constitution that we could ratify, our people could ratify within 12 months of the Declaration. So, we've spent a lot of time thinking about, where we go to from here. And I think the question that needs to be asked in Australia is, who owns the land? Who really owns Australia? Is it the Australian people? Is it the Aboriginal people of Australia? Or is it the Queen of England? And, a lot of our sources say that really the Queen of England is the ultimate title holder of Australia. And it's administered through the Crown and the Australian states and territories.
Have you had any response from the government since your Declaration of Independence?
Well, the only response that was given to a media outlet that asked them, that was running the story, they did give a response from the Attorney General's Department, and I'll just mention a couple of those responses, and it says that, you know, Australia supports the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, and in spirit of resetting the relationship between Indigenous and non-Indigenous Australians and building trust. And on the very next line they say, the Declaration identifies important international principles to which nations should aspire and provide for the rights of self-determination. That's what the Murray people are trying to do. You know, we've been governed by non-Murray people for so long, and a lot of our people are disadvantaged. A lot of our people are dying at young ages. You know, I buried one of my cousins at the age of 53. I buried my sister at the age of 53. You know, 2 weeks ago. So, what is the government doing for us? And in terms of self-determination, you know, we need to look at how we can control our own country. And just another one, it really, really, really says, you know, this is how much the Australian government really, really sort of, with Aboriginal people, they think we're silly, you know. And it says, as a matter of international law, the Commonwealth of Australia has sovereignty over the continent of Australia, and all Australian residents are subject to the laws of Australia. I'd like to know under which international law did the Queen or the Crown acquire, you know, the ultimate title of the Murray Nation? That's what I'd like to know, and we certainly wrote to Her Royal Highness Queen Elizabeth II asking that question and asking her to provide documents, you know, such as a treaty, such as a deed of cession, or any documents that we've signed that really, you know, where we've ceded our sovereignty, dominion and ultimate title over our ancient lands. And we're hoping for a response. We've given Her Majesty 28 days from the receipt of our correspondence to respond. We've also written to the Secretary General of the United Nations, Ban Ki-moon, advising him of, you know, our declaration and our correspondence to the Queen. And so, yeah, the ball's in their court now. If they can come back and show us the documents where they've acquired ultimate title to, you know, Murray country and the ancient Murray land, and then we'll accept that. But if they can't do that, then they have no legal right to, you know, to maintain that ultimate title that they say that they have.
Autonomous Action Radio, 4ZZZ and a Key Show.
I want you.
I just wanted to follow up on that interview I did with Fred Hooper from the Murawari Nation with an article that I wrote last year after interviewing Dr. Jean-Paul Gounod. He's a social and political philosopher currently working at the University of Queensland, where he's affiliated with the School of Political Science and International Studies, as well as the School of Maths and Physics. He founded and edits the Journal for Democratic Theory and has been involved in the Centre for Strategic Research and Analysis and the Centre for Greater China Studies housed at the Hong Kong Institute of Education. As well as this, he is a descendant of Indigenous people in what is now called Canada. In late November, he gave a public lecture at the University of Queensland, which was sponsored by the Sustainable Minerals Institute. The lecture was based on a paper which he published in the Australian Journal of Indigenous Issues regarding Indigenous people's ownership of subsurface minerals. His argument is that Indigenous people who have inalienable ownership of subsurface minerals enshrined in one or more bodies of public law are placed in a much better position to control their own development. He says this would empower Indigenous people and give them a greater
kept an equal foothold when working within colonial legal structures in pursuit of land rights. He found that the United States has the most advanced legal code and cites a decision last year made by the United States High Court to compensate Indigenous people that had been part of a class action. While some money was paid directly to Indigenous people, some went to buying back land so that Indigenous nations could reconstitute their tribal lands and continue to practice their management of sovereign territory. He says in Australian law there are no provisions anywhere near similar to those in the United States, and that legal ownership of subsurface minerals for Indigenous Australian nations is something that must be fought hard for. In remote areas, nations such as the Haida Gwaii people in Canada have had their land returned to their control by law, and in New Mexico, the Jecaria Apache tribe are an officially recognized tribal government. In areas which are populated by descendants of white settlers, the way forward towards a just future for all peoples is more difficult. This is beyond 50 shades of grey, says Jean-Paul. This is 500 shades of grey. It's an opportunity to use what we can now within the current system, but also a benchmark, a target that Indigenous people in Skontetint can look at and say a discussion has to happen. Jean-Paul stresses that Indigenous nations must come together. Once nations come together, then we can start to have a good hard look, a collective democratic Indigenous look at native title or at any other act associated with Indigenous people on this continent. Some might suggest that the native title legislation gives Indigenous people sufficient control over their land, but this is not the case. The formulation of the native title legislations happened in a very paternalistic colonial manner. Under native title, Indigenous people do not have sufficient control over their lands to say no to resource extraction, nor are they able to negotiate with which companies should be involved or how profit is shared. So that's an article I published last year after talking to Jean-Paul, and Jean-Paul also wrote an article about the embassy in Musgrave Park and the potential for that embassy and for that embassy to become an official embassy if the Indigenous tribes, Indigenous clans of Brisbane came together.
You've been listening to Autonomous Action Radio on Z Digital. More information about the show, you can go to autonomousactionradio.com or 4ZZZFM.org.au.